This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Talk in the market today about different investment firms looking at SVP. CNBC can confirm that private equity firm Apollo Global is reviewing Silicon Valley Bank's loan book and is considering buying a slice of the book at par. Now, a person familiar with the ongoing talk said while Apollo is interested in proceeding, it is unclear what the FDIC is aiming to do. And that might be because the FDIC is still trying to find one buyer of the whole SVP book. And it's worth noting that Apollo is said to be one of a few private equity firms reviewing SVP's book.
Santis now says it is not a vital U.S. interest, and he calls it a territorial dispute. Ron DeSantis, as a member of the House in the Obama administration, we in the Congress have been urging the president, I've been, to provide arms to Ukraine. They want to fight their good fight. They're not asking us to fight it for them, and the president has steadfastly refused, and I think that's a mistake. So a flip-flop. Why?
The Tucker tail is wagging the dog. That's why. I mean, look at the forum through which he wanted to give this information from a host on Fox News who has been railing against the U.S. involvement in Ukraine, has been supporting autocrats who are in and around the region. And this is a person who has a large audience within the Republican electorate.
Okay.
And so that's why
we are jammed for time today. We got a great cold open, but we got the SPV financial situation. We clearly have the Ron DeSantis answering the questions from Tucker and Tucker going on last night about. It's not a flip flop. That's what I just want you to hear with CNN. It's not a flip flop at all. Governor DeSantis has obviously been a neocon for a while, but he's never really took a hard position. They're citing some letter from 2013. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about getting into a major land conflict. And I know the posse has been lighting me up all day about he didn't take a hard line like Trump, but even President Trump hasn't said, no, it's not as hard as we're taking, which is no money whatsoever, and force him to the negotiating table immediately. President Trump said, I can get a deal done in 24 hours. I would love to have President Trump say no more money, no more resources, nothing until they get to the negotiating table. Big movement out of Ron DeSantis. And I want everybody in this audience to understand the power of this audience. You have the back of the leading candidate, but you've taken his chief rival in this primary if he ever gets in. You have shifted the Overton window. That is why the neocon fanboys were in the mumble tank last night. Right. And all day today that Ron DeSantis is now hard into the America First camp. And I realize people are saying, well, he hasn't committed to, you know, no resources. He did say the magic words. This is not in the vital national security interest or even really in the national security interest of the United States. This is a regional conflict. We've got, you know, if we can get this last one, there was development today that's quite important. I want to bring Peter, though, in first for the SPV. I want to play later. I'll call for it. The drone there. We had a Reaper drone that got hit by a Russian, looked like combat aircraft. And the Reaper drone is not some drone you take to the park and start flying around. This is a weapons platform that's kind of like a mini AWACS, right? It can be both a surveillance, also it's a big weapons platform. We'll get into all that here momentarily. Peter, somebody's living in fantasy land if they think that Apollo, who are a group of carnivores and killers, right, if they think Apollo's in there looking at a bond portfolio at par, they're dreaming, right? You've got vultures all over this thing. Now that we have given, now that the MAGA has, because the FDIC has given a outright, underwriting of the $19 trillion of deposits throughout the country, or the $5 or $6 trillion of uninsured deposits. Now that everybody knows that that's all taken care of, because MAGA is being asked to bail out, which it is a bailout. You've got the vultures going around, and they're looking at the portfolios. They're looking at even buying, you know, they were looking at buying deposits. I think they got an offer in deposits on X cents on the dollar. So tell us what's going on, yeah. And why is this another example of a elites? Because there's zero interest, there's zero reason that MAGA's underwriting any of this. This, the venture capitalists could have very easily extended lines of credit to their companies, which is 99.9% of the clients.
Yeah.
Of this bank. Why now do you have the Apollos of the world? They're going to make fortunes going and buying the portfolios at 20 cents on the dollar and selling them closer to par to make a fortune, sir.
Okay, kind of the Wilbur Ross route to riches. Steve, I spent all day long working on today's podcast in Substack, and the title of it says it all: the rich get richer and the deplorables pay for the bailout. And what we're seeing here is yet another example, Steve. It's very distressing, where the wealthiest of American hedge fund managers and venture capitalists are making billions and billions of dollars off this crisis. Just yesterday, when bond prices surged and the dollar crashed, you had a lot of this hedge fund money long the bonds and short the dollar. And all that money does nothing to increase the efficiency or productivity of the economy. It just transfers more wealth to these liberal elites, a lot of them Democrats who benefited directly from the bailout itself. And it's very, very distressing. I mean, there's no better coverage than this, than your show, because it really lays bare the amounts of money that are actually involved. And, you know, the conundrum here is the whole Wall Street response now is predicated on the assumption that Jay Powell is going to do a mea culpa for raising rates too fast and leading to these unrealized losses, which created the collapse in the bank runs, and stop raising interest rates. But if you believe their BS, Steve, about the Fed being able to actually control inflation simply by raising rates, and they stop now, nothing's changed. I mean, hey, the biggest news of the day, which nobody paid attention to, was what? The CPI came out hotter than expected at 5.5% a year on the core alone. And so we keep paying and paying and paying for this. And I got to commend you, Steve. The interview with J.D. Vance was really, really good, because he's probably, and I mentioned this in the Substack, he's the only guy in the Senate who could talk about what's called moral hazard. Basically, what the Biden regime has done, instead of taking a cautious route to dealing with this, letting SVB go belly up and the wealthy investors take the haircut, he immediately prided this vast bailout, and then, what, $19 trillion? That's, by the way, that's around the size of our annual GDP. And what that does, as J.D. Vance pointed out, was reward the riskiest possible behavior of banks, the excessive risk-taking, so that now banks think that they can do anything they want and the feds will have their back. So that's where we stand right now.
It's the scale of
the
this.
Magnitude
it's
and
right
scale.
Now between
yeah,
signature
it's breathtaking.
Between and remember this is the law. This is the law of large numbers. You have 170 billion, yeah. We think, unsecured deposits at SVB. You yeah. have 80 billion over at Signature. That's 200. Yeah. That's a quarter of $1 trillion
and
of unsecured that you're on the hook for now.
Billion.
And your
and
your
whole
fees,
system,
yeah,
it, right. And the like the
well, 660. Hold on, hang on. Yeah. Ho! Don't yeah. confuse the numbers. The 660 yeah. billion is the unrealized losses on
correct.
Their government security on their portfolio. Correct. They're $19 trillion in the system of deposits.
Yes.
I think there's $5 or $6 trillion of.
Well, let me explain that from an economist's point of view.
Yeah,
what this is the yeah. Barry Lee that nobody seems to understand. What they have done with this bailout is create an expansive monetary policy jolt, because the yes. whole way for monetary policy to expand the economy is by expand the money supply. And so what they've done is by basically writing up the reserves of all these banks with unrealized losses, it allows them to give out more loans in the hundreds of billions, and that creates money supply, and that creates demand pull inflation. And nobody, Steve, what the hell? I mean, the only people seem to understand this are Philip Patrick, Steve Cortez, Steve Bannon, Dave Bratt, and maybe a little bit of yours truly here. It's crazy.
And I'm not even an economist. I just have my union card from the business school. I'm just a mechanic here. I'm just a mechanic. You're the theoretician. No, but here's
what you provide understand. Is like the deal making inside the room to see how this crap happens. I'm an economist going, how the hell they do that? I better check with Bannon, right? It's a good complimentary team. You're doing salt and pepper, baby. You know what
but
I mean?
Here's how it's going to affect the audience and the country is that now, and people saying, well, Bannon, why are you and Cortez and Navarro got your hair on fire? The markets are calm. Everybody's happy. It's all working out. No, because they know that the Fed is now backed off. They're not going to raise the rates like they should have to tame inflation. And that's why the punch bowl's been put back in for the people to continue the party. The people that are going to get hosed
here. CPI went up above expectations. Come on.
But if you see CNI, their reporting is that, it's a fourth month.
It's levitating, Steve, and it's all going to come crashing down. Go ahead.
No, but it's a fourth month in a row, but they're not looking at the core. They're not looking at what Cortez went through the day. That food's up 12, bread's up 15, rent's up here.
Let them You're getting cake,
the
though,
working
brother.
Class Come people in the middle class is getting eaten alive. 24 straight months of real wages down, getting eaten alive, okay? Yeah. And, hey, let me tell you something, folks. It's going to continue. The dumpster fire is now going to have gasoline thrown on it. It's going to continue. And this is what is the crime about this.
Yeah, the corporations are playing games like, you buy your dozen donuts and there's only 11 in the box, right? Or they're half the size. And this is how the corporations are going to deal with this and try to shift the burden right to the bubbles. And remember, you've got these idiots like at Axios talking about how wages are going up. They're talking about nominal wages. And oh, by the way, inflation is going up faster. So not real wages, inflation adjusted, are going down. I mean, this is chaos. There's no way out. There's no way out. And let's remember, stolen elections have consequences. And these are catastrophic consequences. And again, I stress the fact that the only way out are structural changes. Right. The kinds of things that Donald Trump did. Yeah. The Fed can't solve this problem. Okay. It doesn't have enough tools in its box.
OK, you talked about stolen elections. We got a couple things I got to get to you while we're here. But I want to take do I have the drone strike? Because I want the thing with Tucker last night and with I can't DeSantis. Overstate how that important that was. Ron DeSantis. It's a game changer now because all the neocons' hearts are broken. Can we go ahead and play the drone strike right now? Do you have that? If you don't have it, you sound confused. Okay, it's called cut one, cut two. You remember? We do this? Okay, we do this? No, we don't do it. Stop, we don't do it. We're not going to do it. Real quickly, talk to me about Ezra Klein. Tell me about Ezra Klein and the New York Times bombshell about Fox News and its reporting on 3 November 2020 at 11:20 Eastern Standard Time at night, sir. Sounds like it was a little jiggy there, a little shaky inside of Fox headquarters.
They called that race, according to a guy named Aaron Mishkin, who's at the Fox desk, on the assumption that Biden's game day vote would be the same margin of victory as it was in the ballot boxes they stuffed. And if just like, where were those guys for months on end? That's impossible. We all know that on game day, the Republicans come out in droves relative to the Democrats. So right off the bat, it was a bias call. I don't buy anything that Fox is saying. I think the people who made that call were never Trumpers who wanted to screw Donald Trump. But even if that's not true, let's suppose that's not true. They're stupid. They're friggin' stupid because the mistake they made is so divorced from reality. It's like they must have been kind of in a computer their whole life and never kind of looked up at what was happening in the real world. So this Fox News, it's criminal. And Brett Baer, remember, he's the guy who made that call. Never forget that.
1 second. We're going to take a short commercial break. I think we'll have our cuts organized on the other side. Michael Seifert here is with us. Carrie Sheffield. We were going to have Bishop Strickland. I don't know if that's working. Joe Allen. We're bobbing and weaving and getting on with it.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, we need everybody to get up to speed. We got homework assignments all over. We got, in fact, at 6 o'clock, Julie Kelly's going to join us. Cash Patel's going to join us. And Cash is going to go over a little bit of this territory and national security, but we're going to talk about explosive reports that were not turned over to anybody, including the J6 committee, on the intelligence that was done before J6. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. If you think the tapes that you saw on Tucker that night blew your mind, there's all types of other stuff that's been suppressed that now is coming out. And I want to thank Joe McBride, the lawyer, for putting it out. And we look forward to getting Joe on here and walking through it. Julie will take a crack at it tonight. Birchgold.com/Bannon. This thing is, you know, it's been a massive hit for Birch and ourselves, because what we do is walk through really the concept of money and currency in your life. And right now, the third installment, called The Death of the Dollar Empire, the third installment is Debt Trap. And it's all about the debt limit, but it plays into exactly what has happened in the last 72, 48 hours. So it's very prescient. It's probably as prescient as my CPAC speech a week ago, which is aging quite well. Thank you very much. So I want to make sure everybody gets totally free. Download the first two installments, also free, so make sure you get it. Peter, you had a thing that was free too at one time, the Navarro Report. I just want to make sure everybody understands this. Of all this yelling and screaming and all the hair on fire and Fox has got the best decision desk and the best analytics, and the analytics are true. The New York Times, I think it's Klein, they go through and do this analysis.
Yeah.
And they come out with the fact that they made a decision at 11:20 at night that Biden's game day vote was going to be the same as Trump's. What planet are you on? Remember, for people who watched the show at the time, I gave with Raheem. And I think Bill McGinley helped us, but Raheem and I went around the country. This is when the COVID was there. A lot of it we did by Zoom. We started in New York City live to talk about the Transition Integrity Project run by Mark Elias and those guys. And one of the central beats was that, you know, they're all mail-in vote, that Trump was going to win by a landslide by that night. And then over 2 weeks, they were going to sit there with all the phony mail-in votes and take the presidency. Yeah. And we said, hey, game day vote. And particularly in Arizona, Arizona's the railhead of the hardest core. The hardest core of the Trump movement is the desert rats out in Arizona. And anybody to conceive that analytically that Biden was going to be there, it's totally and completely phony. And it was done by senior ownership of Fox. And I've said this from the beginning. The Murdochs hate Trump. They don't want him around. Yeah. And they made that call. And when they had the New York Times, and by the way, Fox is not covering this. MSNBC is not covering it. It's in the Times. It's a bombshell of a report to show exactly what went on that night, to change the direction of that night and to change the direction of our country. Peter Navarro.
Well, the Navarro report, the three-volume report, has aged quite well as well, Steve, and it's available on peternavarro.com. What I did in that report for the boss was do a deep dive, particularly in the battleground states, and basically illustrate all the different ways that at the time that election likely was stolen. We now know that, of course, it was. But Arizona was interesting in and of itself because the margin of victory there, I mean, basically for Biden, it was a dead heat. With all the fraud that went on there and irregularities, it was a dead heat. And why that's important is that what's stunning about the Fox News excuse for what it did based on the New York Times reporting is that they said, this guy Aaron Mishkin says that our data and our modeling said that Biden was going to win roughly the same amount of votes on game day as he was
ridiculous
leading in
ridiculous
to the absentee ballots. Now,
ridiculous.
Now, like I
ridiculous
say, Steve, nobody who has half of even a tenth of a brain and looks up around during the weeks and months, much less listen to the first, war, first, knew first, that game day voting was going to overwhelm.
Stop.
Biden that day.
No, but hang on. They're okay, brother. They're not so dumb. They're not dumb. They know exactly what they're doing.
They knew exactly what they did.
Please.
What I've always said, Steve. There's no way that wasn't an inside job by Never Trumpers. The thing that we haven't been able to find, which congressional investigation should be able to find, is who was responsible. You say the Murdochs. I say Paul Ryan. I say Paul Ryan had something to do with that.
No,
the congressman.
He's a grundoon. Look for the money in power. Watch Succession. He's a hired man. Calm down. I want you to write this up on Substack. Your Navarro report is aged very well, sir, because it happens to be based upon hard analytics, as only a PhD from Harvard School of Economics can give us. That's why it's aged so well. Your next Substack should be about this because it's just unbelievable. I want everybody to understand something. The audience is the vanguard, the cadre of the populist nationalist movement. You punch way above your weight. You have shifted the Overton window. So when I talk about DeSantis, it's not perfect what he said, but think of where he's come from and look at the broken hearts in the neocon movement. You can't have the two leading candidates, who are really the only two real candidates, Trump and DeSantis, right? Flat out say, hey, Ukraine is not a fight. We're on the southern border, Ukraine out. So that is, and it's because of you. It's because this audience has shifted this. I want to play now the Predator. Our Predator got hit today. Let's go ahead and play that one. I want Navarro to comment.
Yeah.
Now to our breaking news. A Russian jet has forced down a U.S. drone over the Black Sea after damaging its propeller.
Brianna, this played out early this morning over international waters of the Black Sea, according to U.S. Air Force Europe. An MQ-9 Reaper drone, a U.S. Air Force surveillance drone or spy drone, was flying over the Black Sea when, according to the Air Force, two Russian fighter jets conducted what they're calling an unsafe and unprofessional interception. So somehow that Russian fighter jet managed to damage the propeller, forcing the U.S. to bring down the drone in international
waters. Why is a major surveillance and weapons platform over the Black Sea? Because, Peter Navarro, it's targeting for the Ukrainians, okay? And we say we're not a combatant here. Right. We know we have no quote unquote military personnel, but we got plenty of contractors in there. And I think you got a couple of three, maybe special forces, you know, off the books, as they say, in there. But we've got major targeting platforms sitting there targeting for the Ukrainians. And I got to tell you, this is the way the law of unintended consequences and the fog of war, you get in some shots being fired. Dr. Navarro.
Well, look, this is a clear ride up the escalatory ladder. It's the beginning of what is likely to be an endless war in the Ukraine. But unfortunately, this one could go nuclear because they're already flirting rhetorically and threateningly with tactical nuclear weapons. So, you know, what I want to find out, Steve, is who's pulling the strings on this. Is this going on in the Situation Room with Biden sitting there with his national security advisor? Is this going on at the Pentagon without coordination of the White House? Are they coordinated together? Because Congress, I mean, if we're going to declare war on Russia, then we damn well ought to have Congress have a say in this, right? If I'm a congressman, I'm going, what the hell's going on? We are only the ones who have the power to declare war. You're doing acts which are going to provoke a war. There's no question about that. And then you're going to come to us with a Gulf of Tonkin resolution. Maybe they'll do this on this and say, hey, we got to declare war. You remember what happened. That Gulf of Tonkin resolution, by the way, was a fake.
But this is the point. This is the point for the Syria vote. The Republicans are not forcing him to come here for a war powers resolution on Ukraine. And this certainly their performance on SBV has been less than pathetic. It's
too
a disgrace.
Many neocons,
let's play the clip.
Too many neocons, Republicans.
Let's play the clip.
They let us down.
Okay, let's play the clip right now from yesterday from NBC. Go ahead and play it.
I want to start very quickly with banking crisis. Maria Teresa, you were just saying you were surprised you haven't seen Powell yelling out more forcefully already. Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair.
If you actually you look at which bank this is the Silicon Valley Bank. This is a startup bank. This is also oftentimes the Democratic ATM bank of all those investors. And so the fact that you don't have these individuals, the investors that invest in the people. So the fact that you don't have someone actually talking from the administration and being so forceful, I do think that we're going to see our Republicans saying, oh, you shouldn't bail this one out. And it's going to be, I think, very much on a long political line.
Peter, you don't see anything from the leadership. They had this conference call last night. You don't see anything from Republican leadership. This is a Democrat ATM brought about not by woke policies, by Biden's fundamental economic and the Fed's capital markets policies. It's a disgrace. And you got a minute, Peter. Tell me what the Republican House should be doing right now.
Well, the Republican House should be yelling at the top of their lungs that this bailout is wrong for all the reasons that J.D. Vance talked about. But what I said today in my Substack was the end was that Kevin McCarthy is pivotal in this. He's got to hold firm right now on the debt ceiling and get meaningful expenditures down from the Biden profligate spending, because the Fed is out of the mix now, Steve. The only way we've got any kind of hope of making any kind of inroads on inflation is the demand pull side, and that means reducing expenditures. So, I mean, the Congress, the Republicans are not talking about Ukraine. They're not talking about SVB. They're not talking about the bailouts. I don't know who they think they are. I mean, the people elected them to actually be Republicans, and they're not.
Peter, well, how do you get to your Substack? By the way, I have some comments after the break on this. Because they got to stop. Yeah. There's this facility they're talking about. It's a fantasy. This is all going to come crashing down the deplorables. How do people get to your Substack? How do they get to all your content?
PeterNavarro.substack.com. It's PeterNavarro.substack.com. And I'm posting all of this in real time on Getter and Twitter and Truth Social and getting it out there. This Substack today is really important. I spent a lot of time on this one. It'll give you the whole enchilada, understand the economics and the investment implications. Admiral,
you're
unbelievable
you're
doing,
sir. You're a very good man. You're a very good man, Dr. Navarro. You are. You're a very good man. We'll take a short break. We have another good man. Michael Seifert's going to join us. Kerry Sheffield's going to join us. We're going to hit it. And I'm going to have some comments about the predicament we're in and what needs to be done immediately next in the world.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Here's what has to happen. Forget all the noise and people running around, all the stuff. It's about this facility that the FDIC, we have $250 billion right now of unsecured deposits that we have basically said we're going to secure it with your money. Remember, this is all going to flow through bank fees that you're going to be paying. Just remember that. You are paying 100% of this. And the question gets to be, they got to have, we broke news today. J.D. Vance, Senator Vance of Ohio, is on this as much as anybody. He's the one populist on that banking committee. He said, he asked the FDIC guy, he goes, look, are you giving it a permanent guarantee to all depositors or are you giving it to unsecured? How is this going to go? How does it flow through? The executives over at the FDIC had no answers for him. That was on this morning's show, no answers. They're just totally winging it. And the reason they can wing it is the media is complicit, the Republicans are passive, and you're paying for it. Right now, we have to see what the gap is there, right? And trust me, they can't come before and testify. They can't show because they don't know, and they realize this number is so huge, so massive. Because essentially, right now, the reason the markets are calm, they've given an implicit guarantee for $19 trillion of deposits. Who's got that? I think $5 or $6 trillion of unsecured deposits. We're going to get to the bottom of it. This is the beating heart of this. Remember, we like to get to the heart of it. Okay, I got two stories here with two great individuals. One is about good technology and how we can use it to stop giving money to people that hate you. And the other is the great Kerry Sheffield's here, and she's done such an incredible job on getting all over TikTok, which is not good technology owned by the Chinese Communist Party. Let's start with Michael Seifert at Public SQ. Michael, I have been an advocate, whether it's the FJB community, whether it's Birch Gold, all these alternatives. People have to look for alternatives to be self-reliant, but also to stop giving money to people that hate you. You have to be prepared. You have to take on your own responsibility to be prepared. You have to look at alternatives. You have to immerse yourself in information. What I love about you in Public SQ, you provide a free service that is essentially stop giving money to people that hate you. The reason I love the Patriot Mobile guys, stop giving your money to people that hate you. Don't support it. You don't have to, because there's entrepreneurs like the Seifert's out there that are, and Glenn's story at Patriot Mobile and many others we put up here, that are alternatives and support your values. Seifert, tell us about Public SQ. I want people specifically know how they can go log on and start to use the service.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. It's great to be here. And you nailed it on the head with why we so desperately need alternatives. Even the last few days have been a very stark reminder of how broken the system is. And the leaders at the center of that system pride themselves on their virtue and on their sustainability and inclusivity, while in reality, they live the exact opposite. These people have no problem abusing the American dream. They have no problem abusing the American taxpayer. They lobby a regime for the furthering of their power, while you're the one that ends up having to pay for it. It's the SVB situation to a T. And so what we've tried to do is actually create a marketplace using good technology that gives the power back to the people, so that for your daily needs, for your banking, your healthcare, mortgages, coffee shops, restaurants, clothing, you can go with companies that prioritize quality products and services. They refuse to cancel you or lecture you about your political views in the process, so that you know with a blessed assurance you're not funding your opposition. So at publicsq.com, we created the nation's largest directory of freedom-loving, patriotic, America-first businesses and consumers, so that there can be trust as an integral part of every single transaction, because we are dedicated to the same set of values that have made this country so special in the first place. It's free to sign up and join for business and consumer. We generally and genuinely believe that this is how we shift the power back to the people. It's through commerce. So we'd love it if you'd join us.
Okay, I want people, I'm going to tell a quick story. You know, during CPAC, you had Kimberly was going to have a little celebration Don Jr. was going to put on for him. And I know Don Jr., I think, is on your board or a big sponsor of the company. And you had, you know, Caroline Wren, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Alexander Priate, our comms person. You had Don Jr. People come on the show, contributors, and people come. We're very, you know, obviously close to Don Jr. and Kimberly. And Don Jr. only uses your service to find out where to go do things. And they went to a restaurant, and I said, well, hold it, that restaurant is owned by some of the biggest liberals. Said, oh, no, change hands, the guy's full MAGA. And they said they found it on Seifert's, on Michael Seifert, and Public SQ was right there. And they showed up. That's the power of what you guys are doing. Once again, it's totally free. Both if you're an entrepreneur, you got a company, you got something you want to sell, products or services, or if you're a consumer. I want people, where do they go to get the information of what they need to do to find out more about you and to sign up, Michael?
Thanks, Steve. You head to publicsq.com and you can engage as a consumer or a business. You can sign up for free. It's very easy to get started. We'll never ask you for money. Just jump in. What's very cool is that many of the businesses will actually give you discounts to go there. And the Don Jr. story was a great example. They went to celebrate Kimberly's birthday with a great crew that are full MAGA. And they walked in and they said, we were able to dine without fear of getting yelled at or canceled. They embraced us. They welcomed us in the heart of D.C., a city that's like 92% progressive. So to see that type of interaction happen for the Don Juniors of the world and for the everyday consumer that just wants to know that they can shop with the blessed assurance that there's trust as a part of the transaction, publicsq.com is where you get started.
Brother, thank you very much, Seifert. This is the good use of technology here in MAGA. We got to build alternatives, alternative economy. Got to happen. Although we're taking political power back, trust me, you're going to get so many more of these Silicon Valley banks just jammed on you. Let's go to Carrie Sheffield. Carrie, you've done an extraordinary job. Why are you picking, Carrie, you're a very nice person. People always say Carrie Sheffield's, you know, very nice, very, very nice person. Why are you picking on TikTok? Isn't that just what the kids, the young kids like to do, the little music videos and dance videos? Why are you being mean? Why are you picking on them?
Well, I think the word nice is a very broad word. And when it comes to freedom, I think that when the CCP is trying to use psychological operations on American teenagers, that's not very nice. And I think that we should call it out. So as you're putting this headline up here, I wrote a piece for the New York Post. And it was really interesting. The New York Post, which we all know that they were the almost the only free truth teller in the 2020 election when it came to the Hunter Biden laptop. So I was proud to write it for them. They actually investigated one of their journalists posed as a 15-year-old boy and also as a 14-year-old girl on TikTok just to see what sort of content the algorithms would feed them. And it was garbage. I mean, it was toxic. It was content, you know, embracing or trying to encourage suicide, underage drinking. It's not just a silly little dance app as much as you know, people might want to portray it that way. And you're talking about, you know, within the U.S., boys and girls ages 13 to 25, 75% of girls have TikTok's accounts and 62% of boys. And I just think when you're talking about psychological operations, for the piece, I looked at a report by Heritage Foundation scholar, Dean Chang is his name. And he had a really good quote. He's an expert on the CCP and on the threat of China. He talks about, you know, in the information age, the concept of warfare, it's so different. And he talks about how this provides an unparalleled ability to influence both the nation's leaders, but more importantly, its people in this case. And he says the core of the Chinese concept of psychological warfare is to manipulate those audiences by affecting their thought processes and cognitive frameworks. In doing so, Beijing hopes to be able to win future conflicts without firing a shot. Victory realized through a combination of undermining opponents' wills and inducing maximum confusion. And what I think is so telling is that the TikTok equivalent over in China, they do not allow their children to be exposed to this sort of content. The algorithms in China, what do they give their children? They give them science experiments they can do at home. They give them museum exhibits. They also have a control where you cannot use it for more than 40 minutes. It locks you out. We have none of those controls. And I know we were talking about an op-ed in USA Today where the writer is a, you know, one of those libertarian purists from Cato Institute. I respect her. I actually know her, Jennifer Huddleston. But I disagree with her in this. She was saying that, oh, this is a threat to the First Amendment if you were to ban TikTok. And look, maybe the solution to start with is, okay, China, if you're going to put those controls on your kids, then you should mandate those controls for our kids here in the U.S. You're going to feed our kids garbage, but you're giving your kids vegetables. We know the long run, generational impact of what's going to result in that. In fact, I should point out also, there was a study asking Chinese kids what are their aspirations? What do they want to be when they grow up? I said they want to be an astronaut or a scientist, things like that. But in America, they wanted to be an influencer, social media influencer. That was the top answer. So you tell me. Steve, what's the long-term implications of that type of society?
No, it's Sun Tzu's destroyed the enemy without firing a shot. It's also unrestricted warfare. It's right from the manual. Carrie, how do people? We've got this article up everywhere on our sites. How do people get to your social media and your website? Because you're one of the most important thinkers around.
Thanks, Steve. Sure. Yeah, no, we'd love to talk with folks at Carrie Sheffield. I've also got a Substack. Would love to welcome you all there in that community.
Carrie, thank you very much. Great piece in the New York Post, and it was a great choice to pick them. Miranda Devine and Emma Jo Morris were the tip of the spear of getting the Hunter Biden stuff out. So the great New York Post. Thank you very much, ma'am. Honored to have you on here.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, we're going to play the cold open for Joe. We're going to bring him in after the break. Let's go ahead and rip on this cold open, and Joe Allen's going to join us on transhumanism right after the commercial break.
Firing Line with William F. Buckley, Jr.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Timothy Leary is the Pope of what he chooses to call a new religion.
I think that the new confrontation with God always produces a new form of art. Now, the new form of art, the new religious language in the future is going to be electronic. It's going to involve a vocabulary and instrumentation that is just as new to me as the printing press was when Gutenberg came along a few hundred years ago and said, hey, do you know that you can turn on to God with a printed word? Electronics is going to be the language of the theology of the future.
It may be that we're heading for an Orwellian world in which IBM itself will assume some sort of metaphysical reality. But I say that if that happens, we will have lost whatever it is that makes civilization take any meaning at all. I don't think it's that easy to form new religions.
Well, I've been an admirer of Aleister Crowley. I think that I'm carrying on much of the work that he started over 100 years ago. And I think the 60s themselves, you know, Crowley said, do what thou wilt. shall be the whole of the law under love. It was a very powerful statement. I'm sorry he isn't around now to appreciate the glories that he started.
And a warning from Tesla Motors CEO Elon Musk about artificial intelligence, which he has called more dangerous than nuclear weapons. Musk spoke at a symposium at MIT.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. You know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, you sure you can control the demon? Didn't work out. I mean, it seemed to me some time ago that you could sort of think of humanity as a biological bootloader for digital superintelligence. Well, computers actually are already much smarter than people on so many dimensions. We just keep moving the goalposts. Basically, there's just a smaller and smaller corner of intellectual pursuits that humans are better than computers, and that every year it gets smaller and smaller, and soon we will be far, far surpassed in every single way.
I don't think artificial intelligence is a threat. People like us, street smart, we're never scared of that. We think it's a great fun, and we want to change ourselves to embrace it.
I don't know, man. That's like famous last words.
It was like ChatGPT's blind version of like throwing the ideals at a place where they were exactly the wrong ideals to solve the problem. When the problem is that demon summoning is easy and angel summoning is much harder. Open sourcing all the demon summoning circles is not the correct solution. Not even using, and I'm using Elon Musk's own terminology here. They talk about AI as summoning the demon, which, you know, not accurate. But, and then the solution was to put a demon summoning circle in every household.
Okay, demon summoning. And there's an article, big article in the New York Times. We're going to back all this up. Joe Allen's going to join us right after the break. The dangers of transhumanism and artificial intelligence next in the world.
Getter has arrived. The new social media taking on big tech, protecting free speech, and canceling cancel culture. Join the marketplace of ideas. The platform for independent thought has arrived. Superior technology. No more selling your personal data. No more censorship. No more cancel culture. Enough. Getter has arrived. It's time to say what you want, the way you want. Download now.
Okay, Getter, we're up nonstop. I can download it and use it. That means you can too. It's totally, absolutely free, so go check it out now. And, you know, many of our contributors, if not all of them, are up there putting up great content. The Savage Angels are going up live all the time. We covered President Trump's Iowa trip yesterday with, you know, I think 22,000 people in all types of live chats. I dip in and out of these all the time, so make sure you get Getter. MyPillow.com. We don't get many hours of sleep, given the news cycle and the importance of these topics we cover, but we get great sleep. The reason is we sleep with and on the products of MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code WARROOM. You get our square. Buy one, get one free on MyPillow 2.0. Also, you got this massive slipper sale. The discounts are unbelievable. Go check it out right now. MyPillow.com, promo code WARROOM for MyPillow 2.0, the new pillow. Plus, they got all these slippers. You're going to love them. We wear them here nonstop, so go check them out in the war room. Okay, Joe Allen, talk to me. Big blockbuster news in the world of AI. What do you got for me?
Steve, just going back to that cold open, I think that all of those speakers that we just heard, from Timothy Leary up through Elon Musk and Eliezer Yudkowsky, really is reflected in a column that came out in the New York Times yesterday, a day before yesterday, entitled "This Changes Everything" from Ezra Klein. And the important part about it is just that metaphor of summoning the demon. Klein talks about all of these relationships that he has with the people in Silicon Valley and San Francisco, and how the AI coders, especially the accelerationists, talk about what they're doing in terms of summoning demons. They say that they feel a sort of responsibility to bring this new intelligence into the world. And so today, Steve, tons of news in the AI realm. The biggest story, I would say, is the release of GPT-4 from OpenAI. So we had, of course, GPT-3 for over a year. You had ChatGPT, which made all the waves. GPT-4 is an improvement on that large language model produced by OpenAI. So the sorts of benchmarks that we see here on the screen, They tested the new model, GPT-4, on the, if you just throw that right back up there, GRE Verbal, which it tested in the 99th percentile, USA Biology Olympiads, which it tested in the 99th percentile, the LSAT, or the law school entry exam, over 88th percentile, and then the uniform bar exam, it performed in the 90th percentile. And you can see in the graph the improvement in the green of GPT-4 over GPT-3.5 or ChatGPT.
Wow.
A couple of the other wow. benchmarks, accuracy in foreign language, up from around 70% in a whole range of European, India, Asian languages, a whole range going up from 70% to 80%, 85% in many cases, in the best case. And then also, I think it's also important to note that the factual evaluation, which you can see reflected in these tests, went up from 60% with ChatGPT to 80% with GPT-4. And of course, Musk chimes in today on this. He says, "What will be left for us humans to do? We better get a move with Neuralink." So really briefly,
wow.
Steve, in closing.
Hold it. Ho. He's yeah. pitching. He's pitching putting the chip in. He's putting chip in everybody. Is that his pitch? Joe Allen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's always said, and we heard him there, he's always said, basically, we can expect artificial intelligence to outperform humans on every sort of intellectual scale. As that becomes more and more of a reality, yeah, he's using it as an opportunity to pitch, linking your brain directly to artificial intelligence via a brain-computer interface. Yeah. I think, Steve, of all the things to take from this, the psychological impact of artificial intelligence is horrific. The social and economic impacts will be huge, and people like Musk will sweep in to take advantage of it, either through his brain-computer interface or through other ways.
Welcome to the headquarters of the Luddites right here. Joe, we'll have you back on tomorrow to go down in more detail. I wanted to get this up, make sure everybody knew we were covering it real quickly. How do folks get to you, Joe? How do they follow your writings?
You can find me at JoeBotXyz at Twitter and Getter, JoeBot.xyz and WarRoom.org under the Transhumanism tab. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you, brother. By the way, go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Get your free The Debt Trap. You got to read this, your homework assignment. Next hour, Julie Kelly and Cash are going to spend the entire hour with me and go through both J6 and also Ron DeSantis and this whole situation in Ukraine. Crom Carmichael, it's an organ and a muscle, the only one in our body. That's the heart. We have an audience that has hearts of lions. How do you help them with Salty to make sure that we're 1,000% on top of things here, sir?
Steve, thanks so much for having me. And boy, what a wonderful range of guests you have. And it's an honor to be able to tell your posse about Salty and the benefits of Salty. First of all, let me start with your heart is the most important thing in your body. It's both an organ and it's a muscle. And if it doesn't continue to work, you have problems with your health, including possible death. A million times a year, somebody has a cardiovascular event. 600,000 of those times, it's a heart attack. And half of those times, it's a person dies and they didn't even know they had heart disease. And so what Salty is, it will help you with your entire cardiovascular system. But the most important thing, and the thing that our science helps you with, it helps you maintain or lower your cholesterol. If you have moderately high cholesterol, we will help you maintain the proper levels of cholesterol. If you have super high cholesterol, then you need to talk to your doctor, but we can help people with moderately high. And the way to get Salty is to go to warroomhealth.com. Warroomhealth.com and use the code WARROOM at checkout. That's WARROOM at checkout, and they'll get a wonderful discount on the first order, and then they'll get continuing discounts on the subscription. Well, Steve, thanks again for having me.
Warroomhealth.com. Thanks, Crom. WarroomHealth.com to get all the information. Stick around. Julie Kelly, Cash Patel next in the War Room.